Ephesians chapter 3. If you've got your Bible, open it up with me to Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to be reading verses 14 through 21 in just a few moments. As we are working our way through the book of Ephesians, we are learning that it teaches us several things. And one of the things that it's teaching us is who we are in Christ. That phrase, in Christ, is, or in Him, or in the Beloved, or some variation of that, is found repeatedly throughout the book, and it's teaching us and showing us who we are, in our relationship with Jesus Christ, because every single person is in one of two places. You are either in Adam, or you are in Christ. You are born in Adam. You are born again in Christ. To be in Adam means that you are a sinner. We inherited from Adam, the first man that God created, we inherited from him a sin nature, not just a propensity to sin or the possibility of sin, but the desire that we have to sin. According to Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, when Adam sinned, he made a choice as our representative that any of us would have made if we'd have been in the same situation. Make no mistake about it, had it been you and I in the Garden of Eden, that we would have made that same choice to rebel against God that Adam made, and his sin is passed on to us. We are in Adam by our desire to sin and by the fact that we do sin, but there's a possibility for us to be in Christ. There's a possibility, and it's because of his grace that we can be in Christ. And to be in Christ means that God has done a work of redemption in our lives. It means that he has saved us by his grace from the penalty of sin, that even today he's given us power over sin, and that one day in Christ he will free us from the very presence of sin. But it all hinges on us being in Christ. You see, our identity in Christ is not something we can achieve. No matter how hard you work, no matter how good you think you are, no matter how many times you go to church, no matter what happens in your life, you cannot achieve being in Christ. However, it can be received. It's not achieved through our effort, but it is, according to Ephesians 2, as we saw a few weeks ago, it is received in our lives by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And once we are in Christ, once we have received that identity, then you and I have the responsibility to live from that identity. And as we've walked our way through Ephesians, we have seen several aspects of who we are in Christ. And today, we're going to learn this aspect of our identity in Christ, simply being that in Christ, you are heard. You are heard in Christ and in your relationship with Christ. In our text today, we see a man who knows that he is in Christ, who knows that he is heard, and he responds to that identity by being heard as he prays. Paul loves the Ephesians. He loves this church that he has established and these relationships that he has formed. But as he writes this letter from a prison in the city of Rome, he cannot be with them. So he writes to them to let them know several things, and he wants them to know that he is praying for them. Remember, we've said several times that your identity determines your activity, that what you do is based upon who you are. And Paul, knowing who he is, Paul understanding that he is heard by God, is now going to take steps to practice that identity, to live it out. He's going to be heard by God himself. Let's look at our text, Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. Paul says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I pray," there's his activity, "I pray that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power," in your inner being, "through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width, height and depth of God's love, and to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. You thought Randy Travis came up with that line, forever and ever, amen, didn't you? It was actually the Apostle Paul. Randy Travis just stole it, but he made a little bit of money off of it, so good for him. We are heard. Notice how Paul, a couple of times, he says, I pray, I pray, I kneel before the Father. This is a prayer that he is praying for his people. And as we analyze, as we study Paul's prayer this morning, remember that just as he was heard by God, so are you if you are in Christ. That as Paul prays, he teaches us something about the value of being heard by God. So I want us to break down his prayer by saying three things about this idea of us being heard. The first thing we want to think about is this. Being heard involves a personal relationship. If you are in Christ, you are heard because there is a personal relationship. In fact, Paul's prayer, his entire prayer, is predicated on a personal relationship with the Father. The whole concept of being in Christ is founded upon this idea that we can have a personal relationship with the Father through the Son, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Looking at his words in verses 14 and 15. To where he says, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. He's using language that is both personal, I kneel, and it is also relational, the whole family of God. And he mentions the Father. So he's in just those couple of verses, he's using numerous words to let us know that his prayer involves a personal relationship. You see, Paul made a personal decision to be heard. He said, I kneel to pray before the Father. Other people can pray for you, and we're glad for that. I need the prayers, you need the practice. Amen? I'm glad for that. We can pray for other people, and we should. However, I want you to hear me this morning. If you are in Christ, you are given the personal privilege to be heard in God's presence, and you have a responsibility because of your personal relationship with the Father through the Son. You have a responsibility to be heard. Understand what I'm saying this morning. The God who created the world wants to hear from you. The God who created everything wants to hear from you. You and I in Christ, we are heard because we can have a personal relationship with a God who hears us. And Paul stresses that relationship by prayer. He mentions every person of the Trinity. He talks about the Father in verse 14. He talks about the Spirit in verse 15. He talks about Christ the Son in verse 16. Now, I'm not about to give you any great insight into the Trinity because I don't understand it myself. But there are things that we receive by faith, and this is one of them, that God exists within himself, that he's one God in three persons, which means that God himself exists in relationship. God is all about the relationship. Now that may sound complicated, but let me just dress it down for us because that's how I best understand it. At its core, being heard is about the relationship that you have with the Father through the work of the Son that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. Here's the most important. Next year, 2026, in our church is the year of prayer. We're focusing the entire year exclusively on prayer, so you're going to hear a whole lot more about it, but we'll have a preview. We'll go through the first 6 months this morning. How about that? Here's the most important thing that I can ever teach you about prayer. Don't focus so much on the mechanism of prayer as you focus upon the Father in your prayer. Because once you understand that God is your Father, which is what Paul says, I kneel before the Father. When you understand that relationship, praying becomes easier. Don't focus so much on the formula as you do the Father. Well, we got two kids, and they're both out of state. One's established out of state, one's getting out of state. Empty nest, great, wonderful, love it, great. So, but we have these two children, and they'll call us, mostly their mother. When I get a call from them, I'm like, okay, they need something. But when they call, they don't sit down and go, okay, well, I say they don't. If they want something, they do. But most of the time, they don't go, okay, let's think, let me get the outline. Let me think through the talking points we want to do. When my kids call me, you know what? I answer the phone, I say hello, they say, hey, Dad, and guess what? We just start talking. We just start talking. Because there's a relationship of a father. Look, I'm a failed father. I'm a flawed father. The father to whom we pray is a perfect father who is perfect in every way. When we call out to him, focus again, not so much on the function of your prayer. Focus on the father of your prayer because being, watch this, being in Christ makes a huge difference. This week and preparing for this, I began to wonder and ask myself, on Monday, I said, okay, what does the Bible, how does the Bible frame God as a father? And so with the help of a concordance, I began to look through every verse that referred to God as a father. In the Old Testament, watch this, in the Old Testament was written over a period of 1,500 years. In those 1,500 years of written history in the Old Testament, God is referred to as a father 9 times in the CSB. 9 times. And those 9 times, every single one of them, those 9 times, it was talking about God as a father to the nation Israel, or God as a father to Jesus in a prophetic sense, or God as a father in some type of judgment against his people. The entire Old Testament, 1,500 years, 9 times. In the New Testament, which covers roughly 150 years, a tenth of the time of the Old Testament, in the New Testament, God is referred to as a father 368 times, almost exclusively individually. You know what the difference? The answer to this is Jesus. You know what the difference is in the Old Covenant and the New Covenant? Jesus. Of those 368 times in the New Testament where God's called a father, 188 of them are in the Gospel of John. The purpose of the Gospel of John is to show us who Jesus is. It's to exalt that Jesus and the Father are one. The whole point of the Gospels is to put before us Jesus. Jesus makes the difference in the Old Covenant, New Covenant. The reason that we can call God our Father today is purely and simply and wholly by being in Christ. That is why when people came to Jesus, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus said, when you pray, this is what you say, our Father, being in Christ, having a relationship with Christ means that when you pray, you are heard because you are talking to a perfect Father who loves you more than you can imagine, who only desires good things for you, so that if you are in Christ, you are heard by this perfectly good Father. And once you grasp that, all of a sudden the mechanics of prayer aren't nearly as important as the fact that you're praying to a Father who loves you and who wants to have a personal relationship with you. We are heard because of a personal relationship. The second thing we'll say about Paul's prayer is this, that being heard also involves what we might call purposeful request. And again, we're going to flesh all of this out all next year as we work through prayer and think about it from so many different angles. But oftentimes we believe that the purpose of our prayer is to get God to do something for us. But you know, as you look at what Paul is praying, Paul is not so much praying that God will do something tangible for people as he is praying that God would change people. Here's something I've learned, and I'm certainly no expert in prayer, but here's something I've learned about it, is the more I do it, the more I realize that prayer is not so much about me changing God's mind as is God changing mine. I mean, it's not like God is setting up in heaven this good father and we have to, you know, yell it. And if we yell loud enough, and I'm a preacher, I like yelling loud. We yell loud enough, we yell long enough, it's somehow we're going to twist God's arm. That's not the picture of God that's given. God is our good father, wants us to commune with him in such a way That the purpose of prayer for us is to communicate with him to the point that our will aligns with his so that we are the ones who change. Now recall, looking exactly how Paul prayed to the Father, and specifically notice what he prays. He's praying for the benefit of others. Yes, we are heard for our benefit, but also for the benefit of others. So here we go. If I'm going to give you this morning a surefire way to have your prayers answered if you pray what Paul prayed. Because God answered Paul, and if God changes not, which he doesn't, then these are purposeful requests that God will use in our lives as well. So we are heard for these purposes. Paul requested spiritual strength. Look at what he said in verse 16. He said, I pray that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power in your inner being through his Spirit. Do you ever get weary in your walk with the Lord? Do you ever just get spiritually fatigued? Do you ever find that following Jesus sometimes is a difficult task? Jesus recognized that we would grow weary. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And he's not talking about physical rest, because in verse 30, he says, if you'll come to me, you'll find rest for your souls. So if you find yourself spiritually weary, follow Paul's example and pray for strength. And maybe you're not in that season right now, but I guarantee you will be, and also guarantee you there's somebody else in this room that is. So do exactly, the best way to pray is to pray how Scripture frames prayer. So pray exactly the way that Paul prayed. God, I pray that you would strengthen me, or God, I pray you would strengthen someone else. God, grant us strength through your Spirit. Paul requested spiritual strength, but he also requested spiritual stability. Look at what he says in verse 17. He says, and that Christ, and notice that the words he used about stability, may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted, that's security, that's stability. Rooted and firmly established, that is stability. One of the reasons that we need that spiritual strength that he prayed for in verse 16 is because we become spiritually weary because there's something within us, our flesh, that resists the influence of the indwelling presence of Christ in our lives. So Paul says, pray with purpose. Make a request that you could place before the Father for ourselves, for others, that's full of purpose. Ask the Father to give us stability in our relationship with him. Now, he uses that word dwell, very important word. In the New Testament, the word dwell, or it means to live in, it can have two different meanings. One means you temporarily stop by as a stranger. The other means that you set up residence in that place. It's the difference in a hotel and your home. I stay in a good bit of hotel rooms over the course of the year, going various places, and I have never walked into a hotel and gone, okay, I think I'll call Tracy and the men's group to come down here to start a renovation project in this here hotel room. Now, the wall may need painting, and a couple of bug holes may need to be blocked off, but I know that I'm there for a couple of days. And so when I walk into a hotel room, my first thought is not, okay, well, I think I'll go to Halls or go to Home Depot or Lowe's, and I will start this renovation project. But a home, my goodness, I've lived in our home for 9 years now. I've had a list for it for 15. How many of you men just... don't say anything. Wives, how many of your men have a list of projects that they've had since World War II? Yeah. Because you're home, you say, okay, you notice all these things. It's because the difference is a hotel, I'm just there for a day or two. A home, that's where I'm there every night. That's where I set down roots. That's where I'm firmly established. Listen, Jesus does not want to have a hotel relationship with us where we check in, hang around for a little bit, and move on. But through the person and the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, God wants our lives to be his home. He wants to move in, and he wants to start the renovation projects. making us more like Jesus. And when that happens, stability occurs. We're not tossed to and fro. It's a good prayer. It's a good request to pray for yourself, full of purpose. But Paul also requested some spiritual sensitivity. You see, the reason we are heard by God is because we are loved by God. And Paul wants you, and if you've tuned out, tune in for the next few minutes. God wants you to comprehend as best you can his love for you. Now, we use the word love very flippantly. We love chocolate, we love our spouse. Hopefully, those two loves are different. If they're not, I'll probably see you this week in my office. God's love for us, just look what Paul said. Verse 18, that we may be able to comprehend, to have sensitivity with all the saints, what is the length and the width, the height and the depth of God's love, and to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. God's love has length, Paul says. When did the love of God start towards me? How long will God's love continue for me? According to God, through the prophet Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3, he has loved us with an everlasting love. God's love for you has width. God's river of love is so wide for you that it covers every single one of your sins. God's love for you is so wide, it covers every circumstance of your life, so that all things work together for your good. God's love for us is as wide as the world, for God so loved the world. God's love has height. How high does God's love lift me? I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply staying within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea, he heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, his love lifted me. His love for us is so high, Ephesians 2:6, it carries us and seats us in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God's love has depth. According to Philippians chapter 2, Jesus took upon himself the form of a servant, humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. You can't go lower than the death of the cross, and that's how deep the Father's love is for you. God wants you this morning to know his love for you. As much as possible, he wants us to comprehend it. And how can God allow requests like these to go unheard, to go unanswered? He can't. So when you make those requests to God, when you pray for spiritual strength, when you pray for spiritual stability, when you pray for spiritual sensitivity, when you make those requests to God, know that you in Christ are heard. And here's the whole reason for it. It's the third thing we're going to look at. Being heard includes a powerful resource. See, the idea of being heard by God is a bold idea. The requests that Paul made to God were bold requests. Why should we expect God to respond in this way? Look at what Paul tells us about this God who hears us in verse 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. How can something so far above us become a reality in our lives? It can only happen because God is able to do above and beyond what we ask or what we think. This isn't just true for the prayer that precedes this doxology. It applies to every other privilege and blessing that we have in Christ that Paul has discussed. Who is able to bring such things to pass in our lives? Only God, because God is able to do above and beyond what we ask or think. And I want to camp here for just a second, because some of you are settling for what you will let God do in your life through your power. Some of you are trying to figure this life thing out based upon your strategies and based upon your wisdom. And I hate to burst your bubble. No, I don't hate to. I'm going to burst your bubble. You and I do not have the strategies and the resources within ourselves to make it through this life. We don't. We are, according to Ecclesiastes, we are crooked sticks. And a crooked stick cannot draw a straight line. No way. So what I want to encourage you with this morning, in Christ, remember, you are heard. Stop limiting what God can do in your life to the power and the resources that you try to produce, and instead start relying, as Paul is praying here, start relying on the power that is at work within us, the power that's at work within me. It's not my power, it's the power of God. Will you think about this with me for a moment? The same power that spoke the world into creation is the power that is at work in you. The same power that took dirt and made humanity out of it is the same power that is at work in you. The same power that worked through those 10 plagues back in Egypt through that fallen servant Moses is the same power that's at work within you. The same power that Elijah used to call down fire from heaven is the same power that is at work in you. The same power that enabled David to take out Goliath with a sling and a small rock is the same power that's at work in you. The same power that cured diseases and healed brokenness and brought wholeness to people through the ministry of Jesus is the same power that's at work in you. And the same power that brought Jesus from death to life forevermore, that's the exact same power at work in you. Therefore, stop relying on what you can do, because God's a lot better at life than you are. Stop tapping into your power, because it is limited. Instead, tap into His. Paul's not teaching that you possess power to do what you want, when you want, how you want. He's teaching that God's power is at work in you, and God will release that power as you cry for it, because in Christ you are heard. And it's not just for your benefit, because He said it is for the glory of Christ Jesus. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Do you want to bring God glory? Be heard. Speak to your Father. Make bold requests. Ask that His power be unleashed in you and through you, because in Christ you are heard. You see, when my children call me, and sometimes they do need something, they have a need that comes up. My son's a federal employee. He ain't got paid lately. He's back on our payroll, you know. He's got a need when he calls. But there's only so much I can do, because my resources are limited. I can only, even though I want to do so much more, I can only do so much, because an earthly father is very limited in what he can do. Our Heavenly Father faces no limitations. Because when you're the God who created the world, you pretty much got all the power in the world. So this morning, I want you to hear me when I say that in a relationship with Jesus, you are heard. So let God start hearing from you. And let God start hearing some bold requests from you. That relationship that you think is never going to be restored, In your power, it may not be, but God is able to do far more above what you ask or think. That situation you're facing, you don't see how there's any way out of it. There may not be in your economy. But with God, He can do far more above and beyond what you think and what you ask. Stop plugging your power into your life. In fact, unplug it. You don't even need to be on life support. You need to completely depend upon the power of God, who's able to do far more abundantly than we can ask, imagine, or think. But that starts with a relationship with Him. If you are not in Christ today, what we've said about being heard does not apply to you. Oh, I wish I could say that you could just have the best of intentions and God would wink, wink, overlook it, but it can't. This part of an identity in Christ is just that. It's in Christ. So if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I will tell you that there is a prayer that God will hear from you. And it's a prayer of repentance, confession, and faith, to where you, as best you know how, through prayer, talking with God, admit that you're a sinner, confess your sins to God, repent of those sins, and ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Ask God to place you in Christ. And God hears that prayer. And God promises to hear every other prayer that we pray in Christ. So if you don't have that relationship today, I'd love to share with you how to do that. When I pray and when we stand and sing during our time of commitment and response, we can talk about that. But I want to speak to you, those of us in this room, and there are many of us in this room who already have a relationship with Christ. We are already in Christ. You've got access to a powerful God, an omnipotent God. Will you just stop relying on you and start depending upon Him? And when you will throw everything upon Him, I'm not saying that tomorrow you're going to wake up with an angel by your bed strumming a harp and everything's going to be fine all day long. But what I am saying is that we have a God who is able to do far more abundantly and above what we ask, think, or imagine, and He's just waiting for you to be heard. He's just waiting to hear from you. So pick up the phone today and call your heavenly Father. He is perfect. He loves you perfectly. He is powerful. And He is waiting to hear from you. Maybe you need to spend time with Him in prayer right where you're sitting. And if so, be there. This altar is open every single time, every single week we gather. This altar is open. If you want to come place yourself like Paul, if you want to kneel before the Father, please come and kneel. But leave here today knowing that you were heard. And let God hear from you. Let's bow together. Father, as we place ourselves before you today, how thankful we are that we are heard in Christ Jesus because of our relationship with Him. So, Father, I pray that we would be heard by the Father today. That if there's one in this room today that's never placed their faith in you, that the prayer they need to pray, that the prayer that you promised to hear from them is a prayer of surrender and repentance, to where they give you their sin and you give them salvation. God, I pray that you would not let their soul rest until they have made that decision in their relationship with you. And Father, I pray for those of us in this room today who are in Christ, that you would remind us that we have a powerful resource in our Heavenly Father, and that we would cry out to Him today. We give you this time. We give you ourselves. Have your will in our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's...